freak a thousand more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Bill Cunningham at his multi-million dollar double wide in Florida on vacation. Doing some golf, probably. Having a cabana boy rub him down. Seg's not here. Did Seg go with him? Is that the cabana boy for Willie? Gary Jeff in for Willie today on the big show on 700 WLW, Friday, June 24th, 2016. It is Pete Rose week, induction, and jersey retirement, Reds Hall of Fame. The Reds, the 76 Reds in town. Our big party this afternoon between 3 and 6 at Holy Grail at the Banks. A cast of luminaries, the thousands of stars that exist in the constellation of 700 WLW, including Eddie Fingers, Rocky Boyman, Lance McAllister, Mo Egger will all be there. Mo will be on the Stooge Report coming up after the news at 1:30. Right now, our guest, and pleased to have him, John Lott, well-known gun control expert. New book coming out, The War on Guns, and the first shots have already been fired. No pun intended. John, good afternoon. Welcome to the Bill Cunningham Show. I'm Gary Jeff with you on 700 WLW.
Thanks very much, Gary, for having me on. I appreciate it.
So I point the latest salvo in The War on Guns to the childish sit-in by House Democrats that was displayed this past week before their recess, before the July 4th recess. Your take on that?
Right. Well, they wanted to have a vote on the two Democratic bills that had been voted on in the Senate earlier in the week. And I suppose my main thought on that is disappointment, in the sense that everybody wants to try to hopefully do something about these mass public shootings. The problem is neither of those bills, had they been in effect, would have affected either Orlando or any of the mass public shootings during the Obama administration, or ones that had occurred in years before that.
And you're talking about San Bernardino. You're talking about, obviously, Sandy Hook and all the rest. None of these proposals.
Yeah, all of them. Literally all of them.
Do you take that as part of the war on guns, or do you take that as grandstanding by Democrats to look like they're doing something when they're actually doing nothing?
Well, I think it's part of both, in the sense that, look, the Republicans had two amendments that were put up, and the Democrats virtually unanimously, except for one Democratic senator, voted against them. One would have given more money to the NICS check system. If you believe what the Democrats say, it seems like they should have been all in favor of that. I mean, who cares whether a Republican had put it together or not?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is a bill by Senator Cornyn from Texas, which would have alerted the FBI if somebody on the no-fly list or the terror watch list had tried to buy a gun, and then the FBI would have had 72 hours in order to make a case whether or not that person should be banned or not. It may not have gone as far as Senator Feinstein's bill, but, you know, if it was going a lot of the way in the same direction, it seems like they could have voted for it. The difference between them is that Senator Feinstein's bill was much broader. It said that the attorney general could add anybody on the list that he thought that there was a reasonable chance would be involved in some type of crime. Now, the thing is, to say somebody, I mean, it was well beyond terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
To say that somebody has a reasonable chance, I mean, that's not 50%. That's more like in the 20-25% range there. I mean, 50%, they would use a legal term like preponderance of the evidence. And, you know, that's a pretty broad catch-all there.
Yeah.
And essentially anybody could put it in. There was no oversight, no ability to go and appeal it that was built into the amendment that was there. But, look, let's say they thought the 72-hour was too short. Well, they could have put up an amendment that said, well, we vote for the bill, but we have an amendment that would make it, you know, 5 days or something like that, whatever they wanted it to be. Or, you know, they could pass it, and then next year or some months later, they could try to pass another bill that would change it in some way. Instead, their response was to vote no on anything that the Republicans had put up. But, I mean, here's the problem, and that is none of these bills would have stopped these mass public shootings that we've had. And the problem that you have is that let's do something that would have been relevant. And the one obvious thing that's relevant is that the Orlando shooting, as well as virtually all the other ones that have occurred, have taken place in so-called gun-free zones, places where citizens are not allowed to have guns for protection. These guys consciously pick these targets where they know their victims are going to be disarmed. Just a couple months ago in Detroit, you had a case where a father was concerned about his son's involvement in ISIS, had gone to the FBI. The FBI had put a tap on his phone, and they have this amazing tape of a conversation where he was planning on attacking one of the largest churches in the Detroit area. Apparently, he had staked out the church, seen that they had a very large turnout each Sunday. But he also mentioned that one of the reasons why he had picked this, the other reason was that it was the one big church in the area that had explicitly banned parishioners and others from carrying permanently concealed handguns on its property.
Right.
So he thought that that would make them easy targets. But, you know, it's just not that. I mean, whether it's the Charleston church shooting or whether it's the Aurora Batman movie theater shooting where the diary just came out last year, or the Lafayette movie theater shooting last year, or the year before cases like...
They were all soft target gun-free zones.
Well, it's more than that. These were cases where the killers themselves explicitly made statements about why they chose that facility. So, you know, just broadly for your point, since 1950, with just three exceptions, all the multiple victim public shootings had been in places where they're gun-free zones. But the Charleston church shooting, his first target was going to be Charleston College. But he decided not to do it after he checked into it and realized the amount of armed security that they had there. Mm-hmm. The Aurora Batman movie theater shooter, his first target was going to be Denver International Airport, but he decided against that after he checked the amount of armed security that they had. When he decided to go after a movie theater, there were seven movie theaters within a 20-minute drive of his apartment. He picked the only one that posted signs banning permanently concealed handguns. And I could go on for similar stories for many others. And so the question is, when are we going to get the message on this? I mean, the president last week was very dismissive about concealed handguns stopping these types of attacks because he said, look, we have so many guns. If guns stopped mass public shootings, we wouldn't have any in this country. What he seems to miss is that there's a big difference between owning a gun at your home and owning a gun that you are actually able to use where these attacks keep on taking
exactly.
place.
You know, John, you know what? Great Britain has some of the toughest gun laws in the world. And yet that didn't stop someone from gunning down a Labour Party candidate just a week and a half ago in England. I mean, the people who are bound and determined to permeate violence on any segment of society are going to find a way, a weapon to do that, even in a country like England, where the ownership of private handguns is basically banned. Correct?
Right. No, I mean, you can make it somewhat more difficult. But look at Europe. Europe has about the same rate of deaths from mass public shootings during the Obama administration
right.
as we've had it here in the United States. They've had twice the rate of people being injured in mass public shootings as we've had in the United States. You know, you look worldwide, the United States has about 4.6% of the world population and about 3.5% of the deaths from mass public shootings. You know, people seem to think that this is somehow a unique American problem. I mean, I know the president often brings that up, but, you know, my book, The War on Guns, I go through and actually list the cases around the world so people can go and check them themselves. They just don't get news coverage usually in the United States.
So your answer then is legislation to allow more access for law-abiding citizens to own and have concealed carry licenses.
Right.
I mean, was it Ben Franklin who said a well-armed society is a polite society? And in these areas where people are not allowed to carry personal protection, I don't see a whole lot of politeness in the deaths of 49 people at the Pulse in Orlando, or all those people in San Bernardino, or the 20 grade school children at Sandy Hook.
Look, police are extremely important, and guards, but the problem is they have an almost impossible problem in stopping these types of mass public shootings. There was a guard at the Orlando place.
Yep.
The killer there was a frequent visitor. He knew where the guard was. The problem that you have when you have a guard or a police officer guarding a place is they put their lives on the line. Because if somebody's going to attack, they're going to be the first targets. You know, Charlie Hebdo last year, the guard in front of the building was the first person killed. These killers have a huge strategic advantage in terms of the time and the place. If you have a police officer or police officers in front, they can either kill them first, wait for them to leave, or pick another target. You know, last year after Charlie Hebdo, the president of France put 10,000 military troops on the streets of Paris in order to guard it.
I remember.
That was an impossible task. A city of, even if you put 100,000 or 250,000, you know, first of all, not everybody's awake all the time and on the job, but there's just simply no way, as was proved later in the year. I mean, there are three other attacks in France last year, mass public shootings, you know, including the one in November. It's just simply impossible for them to go and defend all the targets. If these killers are patient long enough, they'll find some place that the police simply aren't there to guard all the time, or the military isn't. And so, you know, the question is, what do you do at that point? And what you do is allow victims to be able to go and defend themselves.
Yeah, you know, and the point of the matter, too, John, is when you look at all these amendments and bills that were suggested and rejected by Democrats and Republicans alike, although the Democrats make it look like it was the Republicans who are bowing to the NRA and keeping us from being able to, you know, be safer and protect against these mass shootings with new gun owner regulations and restrictions, there is no one piece of legislation that's going to keep everybody safe all the time.
So the question is, what's your backup plan? I want to have rules that will go and protect people, but look, I'll give you another example. About 60% of the mass public shooters during the Obama administration were seeing mental health care professionals before they engaged in their attack.
Yep.
In that one single case, were they able to go and identify these individuals as being a serious danger to themselves or to anybody else? It's a very difficult task to go and, you know, police, you know, God thank them for the work that they do, but it's very difficult for them to stop everybody all the time. And the question is, what do you do when that fails? And the advantage of a concealed carry permit holder is the killers don't know who they have to worry about.
Exactly.
So you have an armed guard or a police officer at some place like Orlando. The killer sees that. But if he knows that people in the audience there, somebody might have a permanent concealed handgun, he doesn't know who he has to go after second.
Exactly.
Somebody behind him or to the side or something like that that he has to worry about. And if you believe these killer statements that they make time after time, they pay attention to this stuff.
Sure.
It deters them from engaging in actions. They want to kill as many people as possible, in part because they're going to go and get publicity. And that's usually the main reason why they do it. But if you can take away their ability to go and kill lots of people, because the big thing that matters is how quickly you can get somebody with a gun there.
Sure.
You know, you can deter them from obtaining their warped goals that they want to try to
obtain. So if there had been a couple of bouncers that had concealed carry at the Pulse, for example, in Orlando, or a bartender that was allowed to carry a weapon, this could have been a lot less egregious than it was. Now, you're not going to...
Well, I, you're not, again... Bouncer, the problem with bouncers, I mean, they're just...
But again, they're a security target as well. So they're right. going to go
Look,
after them.
40 states, including Ohio, allow citizens to be able to go and carry permit-concealed handguns in places like nightclubs and bars. All right?
Yeah.
You can't find a single example of the types of problems that you hear people worrying about. Somebody getting drunk
nope.
and shooting others. In some of the states, you can carry your gun in there, but you're not allowed to drink. In other states, well, basically in all the states, if you do drink and get drunk in those facilities, you're carrying a gun, you face significant criminal penalties.
Sure.
But what you find over and over again is that concealed carry permit holders are incredibly law-abiding.
John Lott, when is the war on guns coming out?
Comes out August 1st.
August 1st. All right, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
People can pre-order it at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay. John Lott, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
The war on guns, and believe me, that war has already begun, and you saw examples of it this week on the floor of the House of Representatives. A break and then back. 700 WL.